Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week.
Sometimes the hardest bit about not being okay or suffering with mental health is actually just taking that first step and telling someone.
We're a friendly shoulder to cry on. We've been through the experience, so we sort of can have an open conversation.
It's a platform that's not going away. It's a platform that is being used by younger people every year. And rather than ignoring that, yeah, we wanted to just find a new way to reshape it and use it as a positive tool.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to Mental Health Monday. I'm putting this one out a little bit earlier. This week, because it falls in line with Time to Talk Day. Time to Talk Day, 1st of February every year. And using it as an opportunity to say to people, you can have a conversation about mental health. To talk about Time to Talk Day, we're actually not going to use our voices. We're actually going to look at how you can maybe talk about your mental health through social media, because the team at the Lucy Rayner Foundation, who are a wonderful organisation based in Surrey, have worked with Snapchat to build a new lens, which is like an app within the app, that allows you to basically create a snap, which is like the picture thing, a message within the app that you can send to a friend, family member, someone you trust, a colleague, whoever it might be, that talks about your mental health, but does so in a way that guides you through that process. So it's on your terms, how much you want to say about how you're feeling, and also the steps that you would like to take as a result of that. Do you want to have a conversation over text? Do you want to have a conversation over a letter? Do you want to speak face to face? It's a really interesting idea. It's called the LRF Check-in. And it's been created by the wonderful people at the Lucy Rayner Foundation alongside the good folk of Snapchat. So on the podcast this week, I've been hearing all about how it's going to work and about how we can utilize technology, which, you know, can be awful, for good. And actually to do so in a way which is then working in the space where the people who can benefit from it are actually living and breathing in that space. That if you want to speak to a 13 or 14 or 15 or a 17-year-old, yes, absolutely, go and do that on Snapchat, because that's where those conversations might actually be taking place. We'll hear from Amy Johns in a few moments. She's going to guide us through how the app actually works. Really interesting in terms of the technology. First, though, we're going to hear about Emma. Emma Rayner. Emma is Lucy's big sister. So Emma's going to start by talking about just how the foundation came about. And I'll have links to the Snapchat lens, all the sort of technicalities and the work of the Lucy Rayner Foundation in the podcast notes.
So the Lucy Rayner Foundation was set up in 2013 after I lost my little sister to suicide. She was age 22 and was going through a tough time with pretty much everything, work, relationships, hormones. 2 weeks before, she went to the doctors and sadly she slipped through the net and took her own life. So as a family, we went to the doctors and asked what happened and why wasn't she referred to a counsellor or to see someone, to talk to someone. And basically they said she didn't present as being depressed. So us as a family was like, well, what does depression look like? It doesn't have an age, a gender, a faith, like you hide it very well. And Lucy was that type of person. She was bubbly out there and she hid it. She wore makeup as her mask. So as a family, we came together and was like, right, there's obviously a niche here. We need to start getting some free counselling, no waiting list for young adults that need support. And that's where the Lucy Rayner Foundation was born.
Fantastic that you've taken that difficult situation, that horrendous sort of emotions you must have gone through as well, and thought, no, something needs to be done. And actually that idea of, you know, we all wear a mask, you know, thinking about the time frame that Lucy was around as well. She'd have grown up in a world where we didn't have these conversations about mental health. And I guess that's important, isn't it, to remember that whenever we think about that sometimes you judge situations based on what you know today. Whereas actually, you're thinking about that, someone who was growing up through the 90s and then early noughties, that world didn't really exist.
Not at all. I mean, I'm so educated now, but I look back and I can definitely spot the signs and symptoms now. Had we been educated, and my parents say that openly as well, had they been educated, maybe we had caught the symptoms earlier. And I think that's part of our prevention and part of the new campaign that's coming out is to check in, identify how you're feeling and actually asking for help.
So let's talk about what you've done in that sort of 10-year period then under the Lucy Rayner Foundation name. We're going to talk about this sort of new digital launch that you've got coming on. But obviously that digital world's changing all the time. And you've talked about the free counselling, that sort of face-to-face stuff. There's obviously people's lives are kind of a bit digital and a bit in real life now. And I guess you've got to be across all of those elements, otherwise you miss elements.
Absolutely. I think we need to, I mean, part of our charity is about helping young adults. That's that's our aim. But we also need to speak to the parents, you know, to have conversations with your children or what are the signs that you're looking for. But actually, when we're doing our social media and we're doing a bit of an impact report, we were finding that a lot of our audience was going to the adults, you know, the 25 plus. And actually, we were missing the younger generation that we're trying to target. And that's where Snapchat came along. But as a charity, I mean, we do support groups for women, for men. We do check-in once a month. We do sorry suicide bereavement. So anyone bereaved by suicide, we're there. We're a friendly shoulder to cry on. We've been through the experience, so we sort of can have an open conversation. And then the main part hub of the Lucy Rayner Foundation is the counselling service.
What do people say to you about the benefits that the Lucy Rayner Foundation have brought to them and their lives?
Yeah, I think because we're proactive, you know, if someone calls our line, you've got either someone from the Rayner family or someone that's really passionate like Amy and all the other staff that we've got, and we're there, we're an instant help. And I think even if they don't fit in the bracket that we can help straight away, we'll signpost and we'll be there to support them. I mean, we've saved lives, and that's the fact.
Absolutely. And it absolutely sounds like that. It's interesting as well that people will come to you that maybe aren't typically the sort of people you might have traditionally supported, but actually they've looked at you and thought, I like the look of these people. I like their faces on the website. I like the social media. I don't, whatever it is that they saw they're the people that could help me. And actually that's so powerful, that isn't it, in terms of the energy you're putting out in the world.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of people say that about the family. I think we're just a normal family that have been bereaved. And I think, you know, we can identify. We're just there. We're on hand. If anyone wants to speak to my mum, she's always ready to pick up the phone and speak to someone. So I think it's that personal touch that people like.
Obviously, the Lucy's name carries across the threshold and across the front door now. Do you ever have to separate the Lucy Rayner Foundation, as in the organisation and the job, with your little sister? So, little Lucy, are there two different versions of it that you can remember?
Yeah, I think at the beginning it was so, what's the word? I mean, it's healing, right? We done a documentary, which is on Amazon, about Lucy's story. And I think that process was so healing. But I think now we're 10 years on, I definitely can, you know, have different relate when it's her anniversary, it's a different story. But when I talk about her on day to day, yeah, I've definitely sort of divided that.
Excellent stuff. Well, sounds like you do fantastic work and continue to do that with the launch of this new service as well. And we're going to bring Amy into the conversation. Amy, you're the Snapchat correspondent, right? So, I'm not a Snapchat user, but I remember when Snapchat launched, and the thing with it was like you could send photos and then they disappear after a number of seconds, and people went, oh, it means it was more privacy. It wasn't more privacy, it was just a different way of sharing pictures in social media. But you've got a new thing for Snapchat. So can you just, like, in the most basic way, explain, Amy, if you can, what it is that you've been able to do?
So one of like Snapchat's big selling points, or something that, you know, is a really great feature, is their lenses. So there's different filters, different ways that your picture can be altered, and that's kind of a part of it that, you know, really appeals to the younger audience, whether it's like a filter that, I don't know, blurs their skin or adds dog ears or adds a quiz onto it or completely changes what they're wearing. Like, it's like a bit of an exciting way to kind of transform on the app. And yeah, we just, like Emma said earlier, we just found that we weren't really hitting that younger part of our target audience. And, you know, Snapchat is a place where they're all on and they're all using. So basically our new campaign involves one of these lenses. So the team over in America, we were working with them to create a bespoke Lucy Rayner Foundation lens. with the aim to provide a really easy and convenient way for someone to reach out for help if they need it. You know, we very much know that sometimes the hardest bit about not being okay or suffering with mental health is actually just taking that first step and telling someone and letting someone know that actually I'm not okay and I think, you know, I do need support. So yeah, we were just like, what better way to use social media as a positive tool than to provide this really easy and interactive way for a user to kind of take the initiative and fill in these blanks and then be like, yeah, I'm ready to ask for support. And that's the way that I'm going to do it. So yeah, it's really, really exciting. And like Emma said, it really aligns with all of our aims and objectives. It just allows us to kind of dig into that lower age range, which is really exciting.
What I really like about this, Amy, is that it builds on the idea that young people are on social media. Now, yeah. I've had 150 different conversations with people who talk about the damage that social media does, the negative space, problems that social media does. But actually, whenever we have those conversations, I also have to say, but social media isn't going away. People aren't going to stop using it. You obviously thought, right, we can use this for a positive rather than thinking, well, let's just try and ignore the fact, because actually young people are on their phones. I mean, it's as simple as that, isn't it?
Exactly. And I mean, our tagline for the campaign is putting the social into social media. And it's exactly that. It's knowing that, you know, it's a platform that's not going away. It's a platform that is being used by younger people every year. And rather than ignoring that, we wanted to just find a new way to reshape it and use it as a positive tool. You know, we as a charity have spoken before on our social media, on our website, about how social media can be detrimental to someone's mental health. And, you know, there's no shying away from that. And this new campaign isn't saying that social media can't still negatively affect someone's mental health. But we just want to show that actually there are ways that you can repurpose it and use that as a really positive tool. We're really excited. I think it's just going to be a really nice, you know, reinvention of such a widely used platform. And hopefully just another kind of string to the platform's bow to be like, actually, we can do this, but we can also do this and we can also really benefit people in a positive way.
So let's talk about how it works. Firstly, how you get hold of it. So you go into Snapchat and you're downloading or you're searching for a new lens. What's it called?
It's a lens called the NRF check-in. So they can either access that via a snap code that's going to be across our social media platforms or a link that's going to be, again, on our social media platforms. Within our, you know, launch period, which is February to the end of March, we're running an ad. So if you live within Surrey and you're aged between 13 and 25, you'll be able to access the lens directly on the camera. So it'll be really easy to use. And we're just really wanting to make sure that people favourite the lens so that they can then have access to it when they think, actually, no, I need to use that because I need support. And so it's there and ready. Just a rundown of how it works. It is like a quiz style lens. So you'll swipe across to it, you'll have your face on the camera and it will kind of all stuff will be coming out of your picture. And basically it's a fill in the blanks exercise. So we are helping that person to construct that perfect message to reach out for support. So for example, the first question is, hello. And then you can choose mum, dad, teacher, friend, brother, sister, and you know, who you're addressing this message to. And then you go through each sentence and fill in the blank, whether that's how you're feeling in that moment and what that person can do to help, whether that's reaching out to the doctors, sending that person a text message, writing them a letter. You know, we know there's loads of ways that people like to be approached. Sometimes just a head-on conversation is just too overwhelming. So we provided these options that people can choose how they want to be supported, which we really just wanted to give that that user ownership of their support and know that actually there's not one way of getting help. And there's like different ways that you can tailor it to what makes you feel comfortable. The end product of the lens is to have this message that you've created with all of your perfect gaps filled in. And then you can share that either directly on the Snapchat platform or you can save that and send it via iMessage, WhatsApp, email, whatever. That's how it works.
It sounds fantastic. It sounds relatively straightforward. For a non-Snapchat user, I think I understood that. It reminded me of, you know, the money-saving expert Martin Lewis, where like you go onto his website and you can download a letter, but basically claim for like a council tax rebate, and you just basically fill in your details. Yeah. But what for me is really important there is that so many people, and they've said this to me many, many times, so many people don't have the language to think, how do I even start to say this? Like, where do I even begin? And actually what you've just described there is it sort of guides you through that process of putting that call for help in a way which you can, it's sort of framed within a thing of going, I've done a thing, I read of this. And it kind of makes a little bit more sense because people are more likely to do that than to sit down, say, with a piece of paper and a pen and start writing that note.
Yeah, and I think even though it is giving that user like the ownership and tailoring it to how they feel, it also, like he says, takes it a bit of the personal like feeling away of like, I'm opening up my soul and telling everything, because it's just like that basic conversation starter to say, I need support, let's have a further chat about it. And hopefully, we'll just give people the confidence to realise that, you know, once that bit's done, like, you can only get better. Like, there are so many people out there that can help. So it's just taking that first step, and hopefully we can make that first step much easier.
There's a risk, isn't there, that anyone will always wait too long before they start asking for help. Does it sort of allow that thing that you can kind of go, you know what, I'm just feeling a bit here, and I just need I just need to go and get a cup of coffee. Like, because obviously there's the I'm feeling suicidal and I felt this way for a long time. Yeah. I should have had this conversation and I haven't. And maybe I feel like it's too late. Of course, it's never too late. But I think that's the other thing, is that further upstream, there's the, you know, I've not been feeling myself recently.
Yeah.
Or I just feel a little bit, does it sort of have that flexibility to have that sort of, it seems less important, but in many ways it's more important to have those sort of simpler check-ins.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's why we wanted it to be called the check-in, you know, and essentially the major aim for it and how we think it's going to save lives is for those people that need to reach out for desperate support. But also the emotions that you're given to choose from, some of them are positive, and it actually just encourages people to take a moment to think about how they're feeling. It doesn't necessarily mean that everyone that's using the lens is going to need immediate support and they're going to be in a crisis, but it just means that we're encouraging people to really think about how they're feeling and reach out for support if they need it. But, you know, a big ethos that we've got at the charity is, you know, a lot of people come to us or we speak to people about getting support and they're like, oh, but there's probably someone that feels a lot worse and I don't want to take away counselling from them. And like, it's this feeling of like not feeling important enough to reach out. And so we really just want to like encourage people to get support, even if they're just not feeling quite right. You know, they don't need to wait until it's, you know, an urgent call for help. If you just feel like it's been a little while since you felt really happy and positive, then that is enough reason to get support. It doesn't need to be, I've been having suicidal thoughts and I'm really, really struggling, so now I need to reach out. It's like, check in with yourself, you know, daily. And if for a little while it hasn't been a positive experience, then there are people out there that can help, and everyone is just as important and worthy of getting that support. And there's no one that, you know, deserves it more than anyone else. So yeah, I really hope our lens, you know, provides that, you know, mid ground as well, that even if you're feeling positive but you want to let someone know, then it's just like a tool to check in and just know how you're feeling in that certain moment.
So, you know, we talk about sort of that new way of thinking about mental health, that thing you've just described there of people going, well, there's probably someone who deserves it more than me. So therefore, like that, I think that's an old fashioned way of people going, oh, they're always thinking of other people before themselves, which was seen as a positive. Whereas actually, I've come to sort of take that actually that's people with low self-esteem who think that, well, it's only me, so obviously other people are more important. And actually there's a different side to that. So it's almost like, no other people should get this before me.
Yeah.
It's almost the sign that, no, the fact that you're saying that means that you should be getting it first.
100%. And it's that whole self-care isn't selfish. Like, getting support is a form of self-care, whether that is like at the end of the road when you desperately need it, or if it's just at the start of your journey when you're realizing, oh, I'm actually a really complex human being and I've got such a wide range of emotions and it might help speaking to someone about it. So yeah, it's exactly that. It's that, you know, it's not you being humble and it's not you like giving that privilege to someone else. Like, we are really lucky to have a platform that can support like a wide range of people and a number of people. And we want people to use it because that's what we're here for. And, you know, the whole aim and mission of the charity is to prevent families going through what the Rayner family went through. And we can't do that if people are like giving that privilege to someone else because they don't think they deserve it. Like, everybody deserves that just the same, no matter how, you know, your feelings are impacting you or how negatively you feel. There are these amazing places out there that can provide that support at any point in that journey.
One of my concerns around the world of mental health is this thing of like, I'll reach out for help, reach out for help. And I try and flip that around a little bit and get people to reach in for help. If they see someone struggling, you know, to reach in instead of waiting for them to reach out. Not everyone's always equipped, are they, with that sort of knowledge about what to do if someone does ask for help or support. Is that where sort of the wider LRF work comes in, that someone can go, right, well, what should I say to someone then who said to me they've been feeling a certain way for a certain period of time? Or obviously a lot of it is about just sit and listen to them, listen to what they've got to say. But unless you've been taught and you know that, you might struggle to kind of go, well, and you end up in that situation where they go, well, what have you got to worry about? Or what have you got to be depressed about? And all those sort of negative things come back as well. So there's almost like an intelligence required, isn't there, to have those conversations?
Yeah, definitely. And you hit the nail on the head there. Like, it is, you know, 90% of it is just listening. And we've done active listening courses in work. All the staff have done it. And it is so important, like, to know the difference between listening and active listening. You know, you're not thinking about what you're saying next. You're not thinking about what you're having for dinner or how it might affect you or how you've had that experience before and how you can relate to it. It's just listening without judgment, you know, asking open questions, getting them to elaborate, and actually just not being scared of asking those serious questions. You know, we always say don't shy away from it. Like, if somebody is presenting as someone that's struggling, whether that's, you know, low mood, self-harm, like anything like that, just ask, because more often than not, the relief that that person will feel that it's just out in the open and it's been spoken about will be like major, and that might be just the one thing they needed, that one question to be like, actually, yes, I'm ready to speak about it. And it is, I know, like, lots of people say it, but it is that asking twice. Like, everyone just on autopilot goes, are you okay? Yeah, I'm good, how are you? But it's that, no, like, no, actually, like, are you okay? What's going on? And not just, it's not just this common like UK politeness that we're just like, you're right, how are you? Like, no, like, genuinely, I'm actually asking, like, how are you? And it's opening up those deeper conversations to know that, you know, I actually do care how you are. I'm not just being polite. But yeah, absolutely. It's tough, like, knowing how to support someone, because you feel that pressure of like, what if I say the wrong thing? And what if, you know, this conversation is the thing that makes them realize that they don't want to reach out? And it's a lot of pressure and it's really scary. But I think we owe it to ourselves and that the people that we care about to just open up those conversations and just talk about it. And even if they don't want to talk about it, then the fact that you've asked and the fact that they know you care will encourage them to then reach out in the future. And even if that moment isn't the right moment, it might just mean, oh, I know that Amy said that she cared about me 2 weeks ago, so perhaps now that I'm not feeling okay, I know that I can reach out to her. And it's just like reminding those people that you care about that you do genuinely want to know, and it's not just, you know, a bit of conversation.
Absolutely. Amy, thank you so much for your explanation for the app. Really appreciate it. Let's bring Emma back into the conversation. Amy touched on it there. People need permission, don't they, to talk about it? We feel like we've got to be granted permission to talk about these sorts of things as well. And actually, the app is one of those things which sort of gives someone permission to sort of indulge in that thought process of thinking, well, how am I feeling, and who can I ask help? And that's important, isn't it, that we give these permissions, and we can give these permissions in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also it's important for the parents to understand that when they do come to you with concerns, or even the Snapchat filter that you're ready and equipped with the answers, or not even the answers, just to be able to have a conversation and sit and listen. I mean, I'm a parent, and 9 out of 10 times I just want to fix everything. And sometimes you can't fix everything. You need to give them the ownership, the resilience for them to build. You can help them, guide them, ask them what they need at that time. But it's just having that open conversation and knowing that they can come to you. But yeah, as Amy said, it's just asking once, asking twice, and being there and being non-judgmental.
I've got a 9-year-old daughter who, if she ever uses the phrase, I'm fine, I always say, I know that trick. Because when you say I'm fine, that's what you say when you're not fine, but you want people to think you're fine. So is there something you want to talk about? And if not, is there a time later that you might want to talk about it? And it's like, it's me. That's me being the dad. But it's also me going, I've recognized there what's going on. I know what's going on here. Because there is a thing where you go, oh, I'm fine. People, I think that fine is the invisibility cloak, don't they? Oh, no, I'm fine. Because for so many years, it's become the, oh, fine, invisibility cloak. Fooled everyone again. Whereas actually, I think the word fine, no one's ever had an argument with their husband or wife and they've gone, I'm fine. You know they're not fine. So we know that the word fine is like a non-word. It's something that needs to be sort of acted upon first and foremost. But it is that thing of going, but I've recognised it, and that's the way to do it. And we could do that with our friends as well, can't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just great that you've even acknowledged that. That's great as a parent. Some people don't do that. But I think, yeah, I just think it's allowing them to open up and making sure that you're speaking to them in the right time. Like, clearly she wasn't ready at that time because she was standing on fine. But it's like, well, I'm here. Or you can, like, go do some cooking later on that evening. And it doesn't have to be so in their face, but you can have a chat with them and you might get what's happening that day. You know, it's just finding the right time, the right conversation started. And most of that information is on our website. And yeah, we do workshops for parents so they can come and ask us questions about their children. In Surrey, we go into schools, train up teachers. And we do quite a lot of like training and workshops here at the Lucy Rayner Foundation.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And actually that idea that if you receive one of these messages or one of the messages is sort of tagging you in, that actually rather than go, right, now we'll sit down and talk about your mental health, you actually go, all right, I'm just going to go and make some cupcakes, or I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm doing a thing. Do you want to come? And actually then just provide that space.
Absolutely.
That, and it also takes the pressure off you as well, doesn't it? So that you're not then thinking, right, I need to sit and listen and act. Whereas actually you can go, well, we can just walk up this hill. And actually halfway up, I'll go, so that message you sent, have you been feeling that for a while? Or something like that. It just gives them, as you can carry on walking, and you might get distracted by the scenery or things like that. But then that could be a natural conversation as opposed to anything that feels in any way, shape or form forced.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think teenagers, you know, they don't want to be sat like in front of you. How do you feel today? It's just not natural for them. So it's like finding out what their style is. You know, sometimes I go for a drive and they can't see my expressions and asking them questions. But yeah, walk. And I think it's just having a natural approach to it, not being so over the top. I'm just listening to how they're feeling. And like you said, answering those questions. Have you been feeling like this for a while? What is it that you need at this time? What can I do to help? So you're giving it back to them. And then looking at tools that can help them.
And the LRF check-in. That's what people need to search for on Snapchat is obviously a good starting point for that as well. Your website as well, the Lucy Rayner Foundation.com, Lucy with an IE. I'll put a link in the podcast notes where people can find out more information about the work they're doing. I'll put the other signposting we normally put at the end of the podcast as well, where people can get their services and find those services that are right for them. Guys, thank you so much for your time. Really wish you all the luck in the world with the app. Amy,
Lucy with a Y, Mick.
Lucy with a Y. Oh, goodness me. Let's get that right. I've written that down totally incorrectly. You know what it is? It's because I've written your name next to it, Amy, and your Amy with an I. And then I put Lucy next to it. So forgive me for that. That's my mistake. I'll make sure that is completely correct in the podcast notes so people get to the right place. And the LRF check-in at Snapchat at. Amy, have you got sort of thoughts on? I guess you see the number of like downloads or things like that for it as well. But I guess, you know, one download that sparks the conversation is kind of job done, but you'll want it to go further than that.
Yeah, we're like the Snap, the platform is great. It allows us to really delve into like how many people are sharing once they've filmed it, how many people are clicking on events, how many people are favoriting it. Like we really get to see like who's using it in what way. So as you say, just one person sending it to someone is like, mission achieved, but you know we really want it to be widely used and taken advantage of. You know, it's something that as far as we're aware isn't, you know, available at the moment, and so we just really hope that it's like a new and exciting way for young people to realize that they're really important and that they're worthy of support if they need it.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.